A reading from the Gospel of John. John chapter 2, verse 1 through 12. On the third day there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now standing there were six stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jar with water." And they filled them up to the brim. He said to them, "Now draw some out and take some to the chief steward." So they took it. When the steward tasted the water that had become wine and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the steward called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs, in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. After this, he went down to Capernaum with his mother, his brothers, and his disciples, and they remained there for a few days. May the living word of God speak to us through these ancient words of Scripture.
May the grace and peace of our brother and teacher and Lord Jesus be with us not just this day, but all of our days. Where are they now? And more importantly, where are we now? And where will we go from here? Once or twice a year, the publication Entertainment Weekly, one of my personal favorites, puts out something called a reunion issue. And a significant part of the reunion issue is taken up with a look back at one or two hit shows or movies from a while ago. TV shows, for instance, like Frasier or The X-Files or Family Matters, and movies like Ghostbusters or Risky Business. And what Entertainment Weekly does with the reunion issue is a few things. First, they review what the show was about for those people who maybe never saw the show or the movie. So they review the plot and the whole setup. They talk about the characters in it, usually, mostly at least, the main characters, and describe them and tell who they were played by and all of that. Then they focus on a handful of what they consider to be the most memorable episodes of that particular show or the most memorable scenes from that particular movie. And then they do one more thing, my favorite part. Where are they now? So for the reunion issue, Entertainment Weekly brings back as many of the actors who were part of the TV show or movie in question, tries to get them all together to sort of talk about the experience, but also catch up on what they've been doing since the movie or the TV show came out and where they are now in their lives. That's my favorite part. So imagine, I wish, it didn't happen, but imagine if we'd had a publication called Gospel Weekly. A publication that also did reunion issues. For instance, a reunion issue about the hit series, The Gospel of John, and which especially focused on one of its most famous episodes, the wedding at Cana. Because that episode was a really famous one. Right? We know that one, right? Natalie reminded us of that whole setup. Jesus and his mother Mary and the first few of the group that would eventually become his disciples head off to a wedding in a village called Cana. Everybody's having a great time until disaster strikes. They run out of wine. Whoever was in charge of this event, planning for it at least, vastly underestimated the amount of wine needed. Because in that time and place, those wedding celebrations could last for days. But they run out. And so Mary, being the wonderful person she is, goes to Jesus and in classic mother form says, "They're out of wine, son." Which, as you know, is mother speak for, "They're out of wine, do something about it." Only Jesus responds, "What's that to you and me,
woman?"
Now that woman on the surface, okay, sounds pretty disrespectful. It sounds insulting, but actually in that time and place, in that culture, woman was considered to be a respectful form of address to a mom. So Jesus is really saying, you know, what's that to us, mom? My hour hasn't come yet. It's not my time, Jesus says to his mother. Not my time to reveal who it is that God has called me to be. It's not time yet for me to reveal, to show to the world the abundance of life that God offers to us, that God calls us to. It's just not time. I'm not ready yet, Mom. But again, Mary, being the wise mother that she is, she recognizes that, yes, Jesus needs his space. He needs to figure this out for himself to a certain degree. But you get to a point where you gotta nudge the bird out of the nest. And so again, in classic mother form, you know, my mom was famous for this kind of thing. She turns away from Jesus and turns towards some servants and basically talks to them, but she's really talking to him. And she says, "Just do whatever he says," and walks away. Jesus gets the point. He says to the servants, "I want you to take these jars, go over, fill them with water, and carry them back to me." There were six of them. We're told they held between 20 and 30 gallons of water each. Servants go, they get the water, they carry the water to Jesus. And then, of course, he says, "Well, now take some of this and go bring it to the wine steward," the maitre d' of the party. They do that. Maitre d' tastes the wine. Best ever. Best ever. And there's loads of it. They're not going to run out of this. That is 120 to 180 gallons of premium wine, folks. That is a ridiculous amount of wine, and it's meant to be. That enormous amount of wine is meant to symbolize God's abundance. The abundance that is available to us, that God wants for us if we follow Jesus, if we live the way Jesus lived and calls us to live, if we do as Mary said to the servants, do what he says. Again, he brings it to the wine steward, the maitre d'. Maitre d' tastes it. Well, it's a little weird to save the best wine for last, but party on, folks. And as for the bride and groom, we have no idea what their reaction is. Although, I suppose if they were in this time, they would say, well, for $100 a plate, the wine better be good. And then Gospel Weekly would get to my favorite part. Where are they now? Where are they now? What happened to the characters in that episode, The Wedding at Cana? Afterwards, where did they end up? And like it is, if you read the reunion issues for Entertainment Weekly, I mean, or at least a lot of people know what happened to the big stars. I mean, like Ghostbusters, for instance, we know that Bill Murray is still doing his thing and still completely out of his mind, and we know that Sigourney Weaver is still one of the great actresses on the planet. And if it's the X-Files, if you're a fan of that, like I am, still continue to be, you know that Gillian Anderson and David Duchovny are still acting in much lesser known projects, but also doing new episodes of the X-Files for Fox. You know what happens to the big characters. Same for Gospel Weekly. Hey, we know what happens to Jesus. Pretty good career. Still one of, if not the biggest star on the planet. Had some ups and downs, one particularly down, but made the greatest comeback of all time. We know what happens to Mary. Same thing, Mary, one of the biggest stars on the planet, still rightfully so, the mother of all mothers. Again, some ups and downs, came back strong, still revered by millions. The disciples, same thing. We know about them. But what about the other ones? Those lesser known actors from that episode. The maitre d', the bride and groom, the servants. Where are they now? Well, John's gospel doesn't tell us, the writer doesn't tell us, but my sources at Gospel Weekly tell me that the bride and groom settled into a nice little bungalow in Cana, raised a bunch of kids, and spent the rest of their years boring their neighbors to death by telling over and over and over and over and over again the story about how the wine at their wedding reception was the best ever. The maitre d' used the enormous fame generated by that wedding at Cana to go off and take over at a 5-star resort in Jerusalem. But what about the servants? What happened to the servants? Where are they now? Servants are the only ones who stayed, but not behind with Jesus. The servants stayed with Jesus. And the servants stayed with Jesus because while all of the other actors, all those other characters, the maitre d', the bride and the groom, the guests, all of them benefited from the miracle, from the transformation of water into wine. Again, a symbol of the transformation that God makes available to us if we do what Jesus says. They all benefited from the miracle. The servants were the only ones to participate in it. The only ones to take part in it. Servants carried the water. No carrying water, no miracle. There is a famous expression in Zen Buddhism: chop wood, carry water. The larger context is, before enlightenment, chop wood, carry water. After enlightenment, chop wood, carry water. And the point is that spiritual enlightenment for Buddhism, but just the same in Christianity, spiritual enlightenment, transformation of lives and the world, the miracle depends on chopping wood and carrying water before and after. It depends on us doing the average, mundane, seemingly unimportant things. The things that don't make Entertainment Weekly. Carrying water, like the servants did. Handing one bag lunch to one homeless person on a bridges run. Spending time, one time, talking to one lonely kid in a school before he becomes so alienated that he wants to kill his classmates and teachers. Visiting one person one time in a hospital bed. Bringing one meal one time to someone who is shut in. Chop wood. Carry water. Everybody else benefited from the miracle, but only the servants participated in it. Do what he says, Mary told the servants. And Mary says to us. And what Jesus tells us to do far more often than anything is to carry water. Is to carry water. Because if we don't carry the water, there is no miracle. There is no opening for God to water and nurture and finalize the transformation. Mary demanded the transformation. Jesus finalized it, but the servants carried the water for it. No water, no miracle. And there's one more thing that the servants got to do because they carried the water. They're also the ones that got to deliver the miracle. They're the ones who brought that transformed water into wine. They're the ones who brought it to the maitre d' and to the bride and groom and to all of the rest of the guests at the wedding, to us. It's hard sometimes. I get that. When we see the things that go on in the world, the enormity of some of the problems that go on. When we see things happen like what happened in Parkland, Florida this week again. When we see those things, it can make us so frustrated, discouraged, even angry. Why carry water? What do those little things matter? They don't change anything. But they do, see? That's what that episode, the wedding at Cana, tells us. They do. Maybe not today, probably not today. Maybe not tomorrow, probably not tomorrow. Maybe not even during the span of our time on this earth. But one day, God promises to take all the water that we carry and transform it into the best wine ever. And we will have both gotten a chance to be part of turning that water into wine, and we will certainly get an invitation to the reunion. Amen.